Well, hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Get to Know Grace. I'm Pastor Rachel, and I am so excited to be joined by the Woods today. Welcome, welcome. We're going to dive deep into their story and the ways in which God has shown up in their lives, both individually and together. But for now, let's open in a word of prayer. Holy One, we give you great thanks for this time together, for this space in which you have blessed us with your presence. Bless us all with open hearts, open minds, open spirits, so that we may receive all that is shared in this time, so that we may go forth from this moment feeling refreshed and renewed, having glimpsed a little bit more of your activity here on earth. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Well, let's just jump right into it. I don't know which, if you guys want to kind of feed off of each other and kind of tell your story together or individually or whatever, but
it's generally what we do.
Sure.
I like generally. Whatever's normal. That's great. That's the word I was looking for. Whatever feels good. Anyways, so tell us a little bit about yourselves and what you would like the people of Grace to know about you.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah, you start.
Okay. Well, I'm Laura. I think my story generally is that we relocated from the East Coast to Washington State about a little over 30 years ago.
Okay.
Which we'll come back at the end of our talk.
Yes.
Well, me personally, I've been a medical social worker for my entire career. I work for MultiCare. Have done just about anything a social worker could do in a hospital over that career, and I'm currently an educator professional development specialist kind of role.
Sure.
Which is lovely to take a step back and do the high level work rather than the micro work with patients. So I get to train social workers on how to be social workers in hospitals, which I really enjoy doing. And part of that is to do clinical supervision for people who are getting licensed,
sure,
working towards licensure. So that's been a lot of fun. We have three daughters, Hannah, who is going to be 27 in less than a month.
And I'm gonna inject a little Grace here. We raised them here at Grace.
Yeah,
That was one of the main reasons we came to Grace, was because they had a strong youth program.
Yes. Which is the next question.
Yes, I know.
We jump in the
head. Yes.
We can jump out of order. That just means the next question is shorter.
That's
fine.
Okay.
I love that. So Hannah.
So Hannah, who will be 27.
Yeah.
Megan, who will be
25,
I think.
Well, she's 24 right now.
Okay. And Bridget, who is 20.
Okay.
Somehow they all grew up.
Yeah.
Very fast. Not sure how that happened.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And I have to say, and then I'm going to stop. when you talked about during the sermon, when was the last time you just got sort of giddy with joy?
Yeah.
It's whenever whenever the five of us are together.
Yeah.
When the girls are with us, we laugh harder than we ever do any other time in our lives.
Yes.
And it is such a joy that they enjoy each other so much.
Amen.
And that we can just be in that space together. I mean, I laugh until I cry.
Yes.
More often when they're home together than ever any other time.
Yeah.
So
that's
lovely.
Huge.
So that's me.
So I'm Craig Woods. And I have been mostly a high tech worker in my career. Lots of software companies, small and large. The main portion, I did get to work at Amazon for 20 years, which was amazing. You've heard lots of stories about them. People have lots of opinions about the company. But my time with that company was just fantastic. Challenging, exciting. The people you worked with cared a lot about what they did. It was very, it felt ethical in ways that a lot of other places I've worked didn't feel ethical, because the people actually cared about the customers first and the money second, and that That was a neat thing about working at Amazon. So
yeah.
I spent my career in that field, but my interests are pretty wide ranging. I, you know, grew up in the church because my dad was a preacher, and so I've thought more deeply than, you know, your average Joe about God and faith and things like that.
I didn't realize you're a PK.
That's awesome, Craig. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Very much so. My best friend, still best friends with, but I met in high school, and we met because our dads were both preachers.
Very cool.
And he ended up going into the ministry, and so he's been a minister up in Canada for his career.
Okay.
And so he and I still we talk about faith and theology and things like that. But I'm fascinated about everything, right? Physics and sociology and psychology and economics and politics and just all of it, trying to fit it all together into one story, which has been sort of my hobby, if you will.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm very tendentious. I'm very boring at parties because I'll talk your ear off about just about anything. I have lots of opinions. But I've also enjoyed music, and particularly enjoyed music here at Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Sung for several years with Gray, with Laird.
Yeah.
Today is Phil's retirement party, and
oh my goodness,
almost shed a tear because
Phil
is a quiet man, and you don't understand just how great he is, and great in the sense of size, magnitude.
Yeah.
He is a great man, even though he's an accompanist, and even though he's a nerd, and you know, an odd little fellow, but great people were attracted to him, and he strengthened everyone around him. So singing here at Grace is a high point in my life. It's just one of the most amazing things I can talk about is that I got to sing with Laird Thornton and Phil Wilkinson and the Grace Choir. I take a lot of pride in that and got a lot of joy from it.
So
I guess that's mostly me. So things I get boring about: electric cars. I'm really passionate about electric cars. Weird shoes. I like five-finger shoes.
Yeah.
But cycling is the other one. I used to bike to work in Seattle.
Sure.
Like 20 or 30 miles. I had a long route. I could do 30 miles when I was feeling it, and 20 miles if it, you know, was in a hurry.
Or if it was raining.
And I rode year-round in the rain.
Wow.
Not every day. It was three times a week or two times a week, just enough. Yeah. But it was enough to, you know, stay fit and feel and not have to drive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's things I've been passionate about in my life. They tend to change and rotate and stuff. But
together our hobbies are like a lot of people in the Northwest, outdoor things. So we like to hike. We are actually a married couple that does really well with tandem kayaking and tandem bicycling,
which isn't a given.
You guys are unicorns.
We love doing it because it allows us to talk because we stay close together. Whereas if we're separated, then I feel like I'm spending more time just staying caught up. So we like that.
So that's a very pragmatic approach to it. The reason I like being on a tandem and working in a tandem is because we work really well together. We really do.
Yeah.
It's fun solving problems together and being a team together. Mm-hmm. So we've been very blessed.
That's huge.
Our most recent tandem bicycling story is that the chain fell off the bike. There's two chains. So one of them fell off. And we just put it back on.
Yeah.
And then we started riding, and we were all over the place.
The bike was
just
veering from side to side.
It was awful, and we're like, what is going
on?
And then it finally dawned on us that the pedals weren't in the exact same spot.
Anymore. They'd gotten out of sync.
So we were out of sync, and so our balance was out of sync.
So we
got it back on, and we're like, it fixed everything.
Eureka!
Before that, there was a little bit of, what are you doing, honey? The bike is really wobbling.
Craig is like trying, he's in the front, he's trying to keep everything stable.
Steer.
He thinks I'm just bouncing all over the place in the back. I'm like, I'm hanging on for dear life. I think I'm not going to fall off because I'm at his, you know,
attention.
But then, flash of
like,
insight.
Maybe,
I'm like, maybe we need to be like. And I think we were only like, at one point, we were only like two notches
it was amazing. We learned something that day.
So,
yes.
Hey,
it was fun.
I was going to say,
but we survived
like a life lesson.
We did not do nearly as many miles as we planned because it was exhausting until we figured that out. But...
You expended the energy in different ways. Maybe
we
some
did.
More mental energy.
Yes, exactly. And we have to remind ourselves that we are still new to tandem bicycling.
Yes.
And so it is acceptable. We have to give ourselves grace.
Yeah, amen
to continue to learn.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
That was fun. So we like to do that. We love to kayak. We are also sort of newer kayak owners, but we really enjoy our kayaks. We like to camp.
Yeah.
And we like to travel.
Yeah. Road trips.
Yeah.
When I was a kid,
cool.
We were on the, when I was in Canada,
it
was in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Ooh.
On the prairies.
Yeah.
Like the prairies.
Yeah.
Like no buildings, no trees, no hills, no nothing, all the way to the horizon. It was just gorgeous. But we would drive every summer back to the New Jersey to visit the family.
Sure.
Which is a 3-day long drive. My family had 4 kids and a dog, so it was 6 people in a car with black plastic seats in the summer for 3 long days. Just kind of grew up doing lots of long road trips, and now I love to do long road trips. It's just fun to see all the scenery and all the different amazing places in this country.
It's a very different vibe than flying. You just get to see so much more and experience, even more than being on a train. Just very different.
And I like, that's one of the things I like about human-powered transport, like bikes and kayaks and hiking, is you get even more intimately familiar with the landscape because you're actually, you drive over a slight rise for a mile-long hill and you don't notice it. But you're on a bicycle and I'm going up a hill. There's a hill here. It's rolling terrain.
Yes.
It's not flat. And I feel it. And that's fun.
Absolutely.
So we do, I like that part of it.
Very cool.
Anything else we need to talk about?
I'm not sure that there's anything else about us. I mean,
that's okay.
We might come back to something else, but that's kind of
just
who we are.
Continue discovering as we talk. Yeah,
we are empty nesters looking at retirement. Craig just recently retired, at least temporarily.
Congratulations.
Looking at being and excited. For that chapter, I think that's probably the other thing is that we approach every chapter of our lives with sort of an open mind for adventure and excitement, and so
and you know, like adventure can be ordinary, like raising kids is an adventure, right? Trying out a new recipe could be an adventure, but also learning to live like when your kids leave, suddenly. The main thing you've spent all of your time on for most of your marriage is not there anymore.
Right.
So now what? Well,
let's
make that an adventure, not a problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So. And to be excited to see our kids then also move on to their next chapters.
We probably shouldn't talk about all their adventures in this session because we've got to cook dinner and that's only 5 hours out.
That's
we
our
can
only
bore
time
people
limit.
With our kids
We're
too.
Great.
We don't need to necessarily.
There's a great podcast that a friend of mine does, and this isn't an advertisement, but she does a great podcast. It's called Nerdette, and her whole premise is that everybody's nerdy about something, and so she just brings people on to talk about what they're nerdy about. It's so good.
We raised 3 nerds.
Yes.
They
see,
are such nerds.
I was raised in a household where nerd is a term of endearment.
Oh, absolutely.
It absolutely is.
Absolutely.
And so just to be able to, and every time I do one of these episodes, I think of her, and I think of that podcast, because we all have stuff that we're excited about.
Yeah.
And I love that you guys are nerds about your daughter.
Yeah.
And you're nerds about the outdoors.
Yeah.
And we're
nerds
about being in church together. It's just, it's so cool to see people. I don't think it's boring to watch people light up and talk about their favorite things. Craig, I know nothing about electric cars or fancy shoes. Most of my shoes I find at Value Village. However, it's so fun to have other people talk about it.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, we already touched on it a little bit, but tell us how you
got to Grace.
And
what Grace is.
And or what keeps you coming back.
Shall I do this one?
Sure. You tell the story of how we got here.
Okay. So, I'll give a little bit more background or go in depth a little bit. So Laura grew up in the Lutheran, ELCA faith tradition.
Yes. Great grandparent pastors. That generation is the pastors in my family.
So you're a great granddaughter pastor.
Pastor.
Wait, great grand pastor kid.
There you go.
You know what? Something like that.
Whatever. Yeah, I'm that thing.
GGPK. Yeah, exactly.
That's not a thing.
My grandma was a PK.
Got it. There we go. There's where the PK
was. My grandma was a PK.
But a very strong faith tradition. And of course, I grew up in the Episcopal / Anglican faith tradition. And so a funny story is that when we drove out from the East Coast in two different cars and we...
With CB radios.
Yes. And we got out here with all our belongings and we were trying to get settled. Our very first day was a Sunday, or our second or third day was a Sunday. And we had settled into a motel in Federal Way.
Okay.
And so we opened the phone book back in the day. That's what you did. And we looked up all the churches and we looked up the Lutheran church. And it had to be the ELCA church, not the Missouri Synod. and then the Episcopal church. And it turned out that the ELCA early service was too early and the late service was too late. And we had, the Episcopal service was next.
Yeah.
And so we went to Good Shepherd Episcopal in
Federal Way.
And that was our welcome to the West Coast.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a wonderful community. The very first day, a family glommed onto us, said, "You're new? We'll show you Mount Rainier." And they drove us up to Sunrise.
Holy cow.
She was nine months, 3 days pregnant. She wanted to get as far away from her OB as possible.
Yeah.
Thinking that might put her into labor.
Murphy's
Law. We ran into the OB's nurse up on the mountain. It took her five more days to deliver. But anyway.
Oh my gosh.
But,
my gosh.
It was such a welcoming place, and they were wonderful people, and we made lifelong friends there, and they turned out to be lifelong friends, and our kids and their kids grew up together, and we shared daycare at various times in different ways. So Good Shepherd was our home for many years, but it was a very small church, very small, and we, around the time our oldest was 12, I think, no, not that, even earlier, it was... She was seven.
Yes. Megan was a third grader.
Bridget was a... Oh, okay.
You're saying our oldest.
Okay,
Megan
there we
was
go.
A third grader.
So
Anna,
12, yeah.
Anna was a fifth grader.
Because
she did her first communion.
We got a little burned out on that church. Not for anything particularly bad, but we were doing a lot of the work at the church.
Yeah.
So Laura was in doing the...
Doing everything.
Yeah.
Well, she was altar... No, you didn't do altar guild.
I was altar guild. Oh. I was preschool president. I was preschool treasurer.
You were teacher at the Sunday school.
I never went to church.
I had been on the vestry.
I was
we
out
both
of the service every Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead.
And
yeah.
I was in the choir, and we had both been on the vestry, and we had been the financial giving coordinators,
stewardship
coordinators for a couple of years. All good work, all good, but we got a little burned out, and we decided to look for a new home. And it was such a small church, they didn't have a really strong youth program.
Yeah.
It just couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, it was good.
We had fabulous Sunday school.
Yes.
Sure.
Because we did...
Says the Sunday school president.
No, we did a Montessori-based Sunday school program.
Sure.
It was really cool. But they didn't have confirmation. It was basically, if five or six people get together of any age, then... We'll do a confirmation class and we'll bring the bishop in to confirm.
Sure.
But it was not a program. And I grew up in the Lutheran church.
Yeah.
We did confirmation.
We do programs.
which was powerful for me.
Yeah.
I grew up in the Episcopal church and we did programs too.
Okay.
It's just Good Shepherd that didn't.
Okay. So.
Or maybe it's the modern church. So we ended up church shopping at that point. And we tried a number of different churches. We had some hilariously bad interactions with churches.
Oh, no.
I won't go into detail here.
We don't need to do that. That's okay.
There were some...
We got to Grace.
Yes.
We got to Grace.
Yes,
through
we got to Grace.
Bears.
And they didn't come up to us and say, "Hi, you're new. Do you want to volunteer?"
Yeah.
Which was the very first... Some of the churches, they walk in and they're desperate.
Yeah.
And they need you, and that's what we were trying to get away from. So we found it to be very welcoming.
Good.
It was a little big. It was really big.
It was big, yeah.
And there were it was like even 4 years in, we would walk into an event, and a whole bunch of people would come up and go, "Hi, you're new?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, we've been here 4 years. And they're like, oh, we've been here for 30. You know, and you're like, oh, well, I guess we haven't registered yet. Yeah. But
it gave us a couple of things. One, we came in the fall.
Yeah.
And so we were, confirmation was on, was a topic.
Yeah.
I don't know that we were here for Confirmation Sunday,
no.
But it was, we were aware of it.
John was preaching about it,
And
it was a big deal for John. He made a big deal on the program.
And the fact that the program that was Grace was doing was one that had been shared across the Holy LCA and places. You know, other people had adopted it and how much work Ed had done on that and all of that. So that was significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We also knew about First Communion classes.
Choir.
Mm-hmm. The choir was amazing.
Stunning.
And to be honest with you, it was big enough that I could just go to church.
Yep.
I could bring my kids. I could get my kids into Sunday school. I could I could go to the adult forum kind of stuff, and I could just sit in the back of the church and worship when it had been years since I had been able to do that.
Yeah.
And that's what I needed. And so I did a lot of like, nope, not getting involved, not getting involved with people for the first few years because I needed just that time.
Yeah.
But then we got involved with the men's shelter breakfasts.
Yeah, we've done that.
You've done the...
We did, all three girls tutored in Kid Reach with me.
Oh,
I did Kid Reach and then they each, their senior year, came and did Kid Reach themselves.
Very cool.
I loved Kid Reach.
Yeah.
I've been part of World Hunger for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Did a little bit with the youth group, but didn't ever take sort of a advisor role, really.
Yeah.
Wanted my kids to be able to do youth group without me being present.
Totally.
I appreciate opportunities for them to form relationships with other adults so that they build their village without mom watching them do that.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's an important thing. And that was so, so powerful for them. Hannah really bonded with one of the youth advisors 1 year for the mission trip. Craig's brother died right before she was leaving, and we went to the funeral. We came back, we came to church the day we flew out.
Okay.
So people knew.
Yeah.
And then we left, and she missed the bus ride down. Craig flew her to San Diego and got her across the border.
Sure.
Ryan came up and met them and got her there. And it was a really hard time for her.
Yeah.
To be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
It was powerful for me, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was really important for her.
Yeah.
I mean, she wanted to be there. And the community around that helped her do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Yeah. There are tissues right next to you, Craig, if you need one more.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've had a lot of our life,
you
know, here,
and
Grace is a wonderful home, a wonderful community.
Yeah,
there's some amazing people here,
yeah.
Some really amazing people here.
Yeah.
So that's how we got here.
Yes. and that's what kept us coming back for a long time. And now, as you know, empty nesters, and
post-COVID.
I think we're kind of in this place where we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
We got
it's
into
like,
such sort of, I'm going to own it as being lazy.
During
COVID of just, having 2 days of a weekend instead of one day of a weekend, but not really doing anything. But, and we're both kind of like, it's time to, I appreciated Chad saying, guess what? It's time to step up, people.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to figure that out.
Yeah.
So I think we're doing some
reflection
and discernment around that of, okay, what does that mean post-COVID for us in terms of how we're going to be involved
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, that's an ongoing conversation for everyone.
I think so, yeah.
I think COVID, it gave everybody a two-day weekend.
Yes.
So a lot of people were like, oh, yeah. Why am I going to church if it's exhausting me? Because that's not what church should do.
Right.
And how am I engaging in community in a way that might tire me physically, but spiritually feeds me,
feeds me
and wakes me up afterwards.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's
right.
kind of the, you know, I've done X ministry for 20-odd
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not feeding me the same way. Mm-hmm. I
right.
really want to
mm-hmm.
try something new,
yeah.
which is great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And X ministry now doesn't have that leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
it's all...
How does everything... Yes.
It's kind
yeah.
of like the great resignation that's happening on in the rest
mm-hmm.
of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
It's like the great shuffle.
Yes.
In church,
yes.
And we're just kind of all figuring
turnover.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turnover.
Yeah.
We're kind of
yeah.
figuring out where we land now and what feeds us now because we're
mm-hmm.
different people than we were 3 years ago.
Right. Right. And for me personally, I now get to work from home.
Yes. Yeah.
That's going to change in the spring and
sure.
in first half of 2023 because I have to start teaching in the community. But
sure.
but and for the most part, you know.
Yeah.
I get to work a 40-hour week now instead
yeah.
of a 60-hour week like I was doing for the
yeah.
last 7 years. And so I'm realizing that there is space that I didn't have before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that it's easy to get very complacent in that space.
Totally.
And that maybe I need to, you know, like, start
yeah.
creeping back out into
yeah.
things that give to people. Because I'm giving of myself in different ways at work now
yeah.
than I used to be. And so, yeah, so I figuring it out. Haven't figured it out yet, but
yeah.
I'm figuring it out. So, there, I mean, and I think the things that Grace is involved in, the commitment to the community,
mm-hmm.
near and far
yeah.
is something that has always drawn me
yeah.
to Grace. I just appreciate how outward focused
yeah.
the people of Grace are. And
yeah.
and even when it's just, you know, the food bank, not just
yeah.
the food bank, but it's the food
right.
bank. It's like, you know, feed the people down the street
yeah.
kind of
right.
thing.
And the work they do on the yard cleanup.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the Grace
when
and Action
doing
projects.
That, I don't know if they're doing that
yeah.
still. But.
Yeah.
yeah,
those kinds of things. I've appreciated those
yeah.
things, and I think that, you know, it's that willingness to focus outward
yeah.
in a real service-oriented way that keeps us coming back in a
yeah.
lot of ways as well.
I love that.
I have a very
yeah.
systemic view. One of the things we dealt with at our old church
mm-hmm.
on the vestry was that somewhat like Grace, they had been founded in the 60s by a certain group of
mm-hmm.
people, and that group still had fairly strong leadership in the church.
Yeah.
Like, it was their life project
yeah.
to grow this parish,
yeah.
Which is great. And it also meant that they were late in their lives, and they
yeah.
were very generous. And they
yeah.
could be very generous because they were at the end of their career, their prime earning years, as they say. And on the vestry, looking ahead, you see a cliff because
yeah.
they die.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
they were lifelong
yeah.
members. They would support you till their very last days,
yeah.
but everyone dies. And the younger generation, it wasn't a continuum where you had, you know, a 50 people in this generation, 50 people in this generation, 50 people. You know, it wasn't like
yeah.
that. You had this strong leadership that had sort of dominated the church for many years, and then
yeah.
you had a lot of young people,
yeah.
and you had a big gap in the middle, and so you were transitioning your membership. Didn't shrink the membership,
yeah.
but you shrank your giving significantly.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
you transitioned to a much lower, leaner, and looking ahead and trying to anticipate. Okay, how do we manage that transition, that generational
yeah.
turnover too? And I see some of that happening here. It's happening, you know, globally. It's
yeah.
not like unique to any one parish. It happens
yeah.
slightly different times in different parishes. But yeah, I think that's something that is part of Grace's story right now, is,
yeah.
is that transition from the people who literally founded this church
yep.
and have made it their life's project to
yeah.
people who've joined later and don't have that necessarily that same type of commitment, and they certainly don't have the resources that that generation had.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting...
Or their vision is different.
And their vision
there's
is different.
There's a difference
their
in
age
of life, and they're,
yeah.
they're experiencing this building rather than the memories and
right.
The story of having built this building.
Right.
You
right.
know,
it's,
I mean,
it,
that's
it
a
all
different
is
place.
Here already.
I mean,
right.
This is what we remember. I mean, this is our story of
right.
Grace is here.
Right.
It's not the all the work and
like
and
we don't have
commitment.
Fond memories of
right.
of the worship in the
parish hall,
the old parish hall.
Exactly.
It's not the old parish hall to us.
Right.
It's, you know,
it's just the fellowship.
Just the
fellowship.
In fact, I think one of our first Sundays was Ed's retirement.
Sure.
It was,
yeah,
within
it
a few weeks.
Within
yeah.
a few
yeah.
weeks of us joining, it was Ed's retirement.
Yeah.
And that's something else that I love about Grace is that Ed and John have been able to retire and gracefully become parishioners.
Yeah.
Without politics.
Without all of the politics and just difficult stuff that can happen.
Yeah.
Triangulation.
With people.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
yes.
Grace has allowed them to retire. They have embraced new leadership.
Yeah.
And they've been able to just continue to be present without needing to be in charge. And that is such a gift.
Yeah.
All around.
Agree.
We were talking with Amy today, sort of officially met her. And just, you know, being able to tell her that, I mean, cause every time we come to church, the choir asks Craig when he's joining. You know, and jokingly, he keeps count of how many people today.
Yeah.
It's a dozen.
But many of those conversations, especially early on, have been choir members praising Amy.
Yeah.
Yes,
and I have
all
to
of them.
Say.
All of them.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't hear it quite as much now.
No, that's fine.
Now they stop.
I'm sorry.
Everybody early on said that, but once they said it, I don't know that they've said it multiple times to me.
Yeah.
But again, what a gift of grace for the choir to embrace her and for her to be willing to step into some huge shoes and to do it gracefully and in a way that did not need to replace Laird.
Right.
But to be in her own space.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, this is an amazing place. The people here are really
mature.
Not a lot of the cattiness.
Yeah.
But you get a lot of congregations, which is remarkable to me because it's big.
But I think that's I think that's a function of the vision and the passion.
Yeah.
Like the reason people aren't sitting here fighting each other to see who gets to do what, or blaming each other for what went wrong, or things like that, is because the leadership has kept people focused outward and on the mission.
Yeah.
Right? I just loved that. We came in, you know, the Grace in Action when it launched was transformative. It was it was visionary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yet it's what a church is for in many ways, especially a church like this one that's so blessed, is. Don't spend time, you know, making rules for other people.
Yeah.
Humble yourself. You're servants.
Yeah.
You know, serve God, serve your community.
Yeah.
And let's all do that.
Yeah.
And not worry about, you know, prestige and status and politics and all that stuff. And I think that leadership and
that
mission is one of the keys to keeping this a healthy parish and keeping people loving each other in the mission that we're all contributing to.
Keeping the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
And by no means are we perfect, but
right.
I mean, I still remember how many times in seminary it was said something along the lines of, like, when you retire, don't go back to that congregation.
Right.
Don't
go
back.
Because
it's just
going to
get weird, and it's going to get complicated, and there's going to be egos in the way, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I interviewed at Grace, and they were telling me that Pastor Ed is still a member here, or Ed is still a member here, and Pastor John is on his way towards retirement. We don't know what that looks like yet, but we hope someday he can
red
do the
flag,
same thing. And
flag,
I was just like, whoa, this is what everyone told me not to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
And I was so freaked out. But then seeing it in reality, seeing it lived out, it really is okay. We're gonna take some time to adjust. It's still different.
Mm-hmm.
It's still weird.
Yeah.
But once we believe we can get there.
Yeah.
We believe we can get
mm-hmm.
to a point where John is John. And mm-hmm. just like you were saying, Laura, about being able to just get to worship and worship,
uh-huh.
that's now his role.
Just let him do that.
That's
yes.
now his role. That's now
yeah.
God's role. They
yeah.
get to just
right.
worship.
Right.
And I'll be honest, I'm terrified of that someday just because I have a really hard time letting go of control. So I'm hopeful that by the time
doesn't
I get to retirement, I'll have their grace of just being able to show
time.
Up and worship. I got some time.
But
they have that grace
yes,
of
yes.
being able to say this isn't, I'm not here in that same way anymore.
But
I'm
and you know what else it does is by saying we're going to worship, we're
yeah.
going to step back, we're going to not try to be in control, but we're still worshiping with this congregation.
Yes.
Honors this congregation and honors our new leadership.
Yes.
Because
yep.
it's saying we're not, you know, we didn't bring Chad and Rachel on and say, well, you know, gosh, there you
Good
guys
luck.
Are in there. yeah. We're going someplace else.
Yeah. yes.
But instead they're
yes.
saying, no, this is still a home
yeah.
for us. And I think,
yep.
I mean, I think that that's just,
do you want a funny story?
Always.
My dad, in his early career as a priest, which was wasn't until we moved to Canada, it was when he got his first parish.
Okay.
But he started specializing in going into churches as the first pastor after a long tenured pastor
yes.
had retired.
Yeah.
And he had a mission. He felt it was a call to break up static power structures and
yeah.
get the new and young and, you know, reopen the parish because it can really get calcified and
yep.
and static. And you know, so having a 30-year pastor retire and not having any kind of crisis and being able to gracefully transition to new leadership
yeah.
is a sign of a very healthy parish, a
yeah.
parish with, you know, a lot of humility.
Yeah.
Because he did that for three separate churches.
Yeah.
Three separate times. It wasn't
yeah.
an interim role. He was there for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
But he specifically worked to break up and make things new again in these
yeah.
churches.
That's
so
huge.
Yeah, seeing it done here gracefully is for me is even more extraordinary because
yeah.
of those you know very real examples of
right.
how hard it can be.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not here, so that's kind
it's
of
it's no funny. Small feat, and it's certainly due to a lot of dedication to what it is we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
You know, on
the
Pastor
mission.
John's part, on
mm-hmm.
Pastor
it's
Chad's
not about John,
part.
It's about
mm-hmm.
the mission.
It's
exactly.
About,
yeah,
it's not about Chad.
Ed.
It's not about myself. It's
mm-hmm.
not about Pastor Salvador.
Right.
It's about
mm-hmm.
what we're trying to do here
right.
and
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out each of our roles in that as individuals for all of us,
mm-hmm.
not just the pastoral
mm-hmm.
staff, but for all of us,
mm-hmm.
so that the entire collective is
mm-hmm.
benefited rather
right.
than broken down or
mm-hmm.
torn down.
Yeah,
yeah that's
yeah.
huge. That's
yeah.
huge.
So that's, yeah,
that's how we got
it. I love that. And that's why it keeps you coming back.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, I did say that we might go down some rabbit holes when we started
right.
talking.
Right.
So
right.
I don't mind a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Like that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about a time when God's grace made a big difference in your life. And I asked that. I said before we started recording
mm-hmm.
that it's because our podcast title is has two
mm-hmm.
meanings, getting to know Grace Lutheran Church, but also getting to know God's grace and the variety, the expansiveness in which it shows up in our lives. So tell us about a time when God's grace made a big difference.
Well, I can think of several times, but I think Craig's just to go back to Craig's story about
yeah.
how we found a church home in Washington when we moved out here
yeah.
was grace. It was
mm-hmm.
God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean we were young. We had a pretty our marital relationship was really different than any other relationship I'd ever had. I mean,
yeah.
Craig was the first person to ever ask me, first boyfriend ever asked me, how are we doing? And I
emotional
remember...
Emotional intelligence!
Yeah.
We love it!
Oh my gosh!
We love it! Yes!
Mind-blowing!
Yes!
And then I remember waiting to see a movie, this was before we moved, waiting to meet my roommate for a movie, and he looked at me and he said, do you really believe Jesus was raised from the dead?
And I'm like...
Who are you?
Who is this guy?
How? How did I find you?
Yes.
although we weren't attending church in Boston together,
yeah,
we had talked about it. We were kind of figuring out where does faith, you know, we were young. Where does faith play a role in our lives? When we got here, the first thing we did, we thought about, we're like, we have to meet friends. Where do you do that? You do that at a church.
Yep.
And and I think, you know, God led us there. He got us out here safely. We both knew it was okay to make that cross-country move without jobs.
Yeah.
I had an interview. That's all. We moved on my interview.
Quit a job.
He quit a job. I had just graduated. And we moved out knowing that also, by the grace of God, we had amazingly supportive families.
Mm-hmm.
And if we failed, we could go home. We weren't like so many of the people I've met through my career who move for a job and they're, and then it doesn't, it falls through and they're left scrambling because they don't have anything.
Right.
So all of that. And then we found our church family and found an incredible community to raise our kids when they were little. And I mean, it was just, I just see God all over the place in that. So I think that, I mean, it's not just one moment.
Yes.
It is. I see it in so many things in my life.
In preschool, we met a family. And we're now, again, lifelong friends with these people.
Yeah.
You know, we just had dinner with them last night. It was a great time. It was two nights ago. Sorry. And it was just because she was on the board of the church. Preschool.
It's because I went to a birthday party. At a restaurant, and I'm sitting across from this woman, my best friend Lisa, and I said, you know, I've been thinking about walking the breast cancer 3-day. Is that just crazy? And she's like, let's do it.
That's awesome.
And so we signed up for it, and we walked, we trained for, you know, all summer to do it, because it was a fall walk. Dan and Craig took care of 5 kids. Every Saturday when we got out, every Saturday and Sunday, we'd get up at 6 o'clock and we would do like a 20-mile walk, and they would take care of the kids.
Yeah.
And we are lifelong friends now. And that's another great
moment. That was through the church.
We were at the church preschool together. Our kids were together, but that turned into hiring the preschool assistant teacher as our nanny when both of us went back to work at the same time. And so our two, their eldest and our youngest, shared a nanny.
Yep.
After preschool, they'd come home to our house and play until one of us got home from work, know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, just so many places.
Amazing.
So my story of grace, my most recent one, there have been a lot, obviously, is that COVID was a blessing in my family, for me personally, for my family, in the strangest way. So I ended up working from home, as so many people did, in early 2020, like March, April, May. Well, that was also right when my father went on hospice for prostate cancer.
Sure.
And he had been treated for it for a long time, but it had broken free, and he started chemo, tried chemo, his tumor grew faster, and the chemo was miserable, so he decided to go on hospice right around March.
Yeah.
My family is all still on the East Coast, for the most part. There's a lot of asterisks associated with that, but let's just say the East Coast for now.
Yeah.
And, so here we are out on the West Coast, and we've been together we got together yearly. We're a very close family. But with COVID, they got locked. They were living in a care community, and they got locked down, and no visitors.
Yeah.
And I was working from home. Well, around June, the care community, things had relaxed enough, and they started, they said, we will let people go out for errands 3 times a week.
Okay.
And I asked Laura, I said to Laura, I want to go.
Yeah.
I can work from anywhere. I can work from Maryland.
Right.
It's just people on a computer screen.
Right.
Instead of having to go to the office, I was free to move to the East Coast temporarily.
Yeah.
Saw my father 3 times a week while they were, and he was healthy and happy at the time.
Yeah.
And then they opened it up even more, and we were seeing them more often, and I had taken my bike out there, and I was riding the C&O Canal for exercise. It was an idyllic period of seeing my father in his last days.
Yeah.
And so we were there up till the point where he grew very ill and passed. So I never would have gotten, I was almost 2 months with my dad at the end of his life. And my dad and I are very good friends.
Yeah.
Very good. Very close.
Yeah.
So, in that way, COVID was a blessing. It let me be there. His last week, he got an infection. He was bedridden, very ill. Was the week that the facility they stayed in finally allowed 3 family members to come into the facility and visit.
Yeah.
I have 2 siblings that are living.
Yeah.
And so the 3 of us were all there. And we were all able to be there with him for his last days.
Yeah.
So I see a lot of God's grace in that.
Yeah.
I don't mean that COVID is a blessing. That's obviously a ludicrous statement. But what I mean is that, you know, grace is how you, it's an attitude. It's how you experience the world around you.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a lesson my father very much taught me, that you choose that.
Yeah.
You decide as best you can. You don't have unlimited control of this, but to the best of your ability, choose joy.
Yeah.
Choose to see beauty. Choose to see grace. Choose to see and find grace in the world.
Yeah.
Even amidst catastrophe and calumny and all the things that we're facing in our world these days, there is still beauty and grace.
Yeah.
So that was my most recent experience of grace.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for sharing, Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, life is not simple.
No.
My life has not been. We've been immensely blessed. We have had a harmonious relationship for 30 plus years. And how in the hell do you do that?
Yeah.
That wasn't me, although it was me. I worked really hard at it.
Right.
She worked really hard at it. But also, it was grace, right?
Absolutely.
And we've been immensely blessed. And yet we've also struggled.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, you know, I have a lot of personal stuff that I struggle with. Life is not an easy, happy-go-lucky time. And I was a manager for a while, and an employee came in who himself was struggling in his own life very badly, unfortunately. And I was mentoring him as best I could, and at one point he turned and he said, you know, I like talking to you because you're always so happy. And I almost, I laughed. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Right.
I'm not happy.
Right.
Are you kidding?
Right.
But what he was seeing was that effort to choose joy in your life.
Yeah.
And that that work that you do on a day-to-day basis, he was seeing that and responding to that. But it struck me at the time as a ludicrous statement. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right.
I actually am depressed.
Yes.
It happens.
Yeah.
It's
are
you kidding?
Yeah.
Nuts.
And I think it's so true that the hard stuff, I think the door is locked, yes, I'm going to have to let her. Sorry about that. No worries. I'm glad you're not choking. That's important. Welcome back. We were just talking about the complexities of life, and I was just going to say that it's so often that I think we kind of stumble through life, and we'll stumble into the hard stuff just as much, I think, as we stumble into the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't go seeking out the good stuff, the other stuff just so quickly overwhelms. Even if you're, like, equal amounts of minutes in my day are depression as much as they are laughter, even if I got equal minutes, mm-hmm. that just, you need so much more goodness in your life mm-hmm. to overshadow mm-hmm. the hard, not overshadow, make the hard stuff livable. It's mm-hmm. not that it's like overtaking and ignoring the hard stuff. It doesn't go away. Oh. But it makes the hard stuff livable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As opposed to just saying, life is just hard all the time. And, mm-hmm. and I just, and to choose that. And that's complicated for people for so many reasons, right? Mm-hmm. There's great privilege in being able to find joy. There's great mm-hmm. privilege in being able to find joy in addition to, beyond, around, in the midst of mental health struggles. I mean, there's so much wrapped up in that. And to still claim, I'm going to seek joy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to seek laughter. Mm-hmm. I'm going to seek mm-hmm. goodness. Mm-hmm. That's what gets us through the crap of the world
yes.
and the brokenness and the pain. Otherwise, what's the point? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I retired, I think we mentioned that earlier, this August, and my big gift to myself at retirement was, aside from the car, we're not going to talk about the car.
The car that shall not be named or mentioned.
I wanted to go back east and do the leaf peeping. Because I grew up on the East Coast, and fall on the East Coast is a symphony of color. It's just, I call it a cathedral of color when you're driving through across these states.
Yeah.
And I remember that fondly with my family for so many years. And particularly, I drove east and I picked up my mom and spent like 10 days just driving from various family houses, you know, which took me up the East Coast all the way to Boston. Visiting and all of that with mom. And the thing is, mom finds joy in the beauty of the world around her.
Yeah.
And just, she's unabashed, unashamed with it. She just exclaims at the beauty of anything, mountains and trees and rivers. And it's, you know, she is so life affirming. And that mm-hmm. process, that ability to find that joy, to choose to find that joy, it was a marvelous time. It was just an idyll of, you know, to be able to spend that time with my mom.
Yeah.
And in that way, it's that for me, it's as close to heaven as I get on earth, is just, you know, experiencing God's, the joy of God's creation. The beauty of God's creation is...
I think we've talked about it, but just the sacredness in the ordinary. I think mm-hmm. anyone who mm-hmm. can appreciate the beauty mm-hmm. of the ordinary mm-hmm. is a person I like hanging out with. Because then it's the joy the joy of a butterfly landing on your hand. Well, that's just not a bug. That's like, maybe that's somebody saying hi, or maybe the bee buzzing around you. Like, maybe that's a thing. I don't know. Just like the beauty in the simple means everything is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Everything is sacred. Mm-hmm. And that just fills me up.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for being here. That's who you are. Thanks for sharing your stories. This has been lovely. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you. That's all I can think to say. It's just, this has been fantastic.
Wonderful. Yeah. And we've enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was my pleasure.
Oh, well, everyone listening, thank you so much for being a part of this experiment as well, for joining us in this journey. Tune in next week. We'll have another great Get to Know Grace guest. For now, go with God's grace. Go with God's goodness, and may you be blessed by the joy in the simple things. Take care, everybody.